Good afternoon. Welcome to the regular board meeting, Rancho Marietta Community Service District, September 20th, 4 p.m. Amelia, could you do roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Director Booth is absent. He will be absent for the whole meeting, and I won't call his name again. Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Jenko?
Here.
Director Mabee?
Here.
Director Cole?
Here.
Thank you.
Item two, consider adoption of the agenda. I make a motion to adopt the agenda as is. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
For the closed session?
Was Director?
No, it's for just the overall agenda.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Roll call vote. Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Jenko?
Aye.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Cole?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item three is closed session. We have three items, 3A, 3B, and 3C, with legal counsel and the general manager. I anticipate coming out of closed session right at 5 o'clock for our regular board meeting. So at this time, we'll adjourn to the conference room. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia.
Thank you very much. Ready?
All right, it's a little after 5 o'clock. We're going to come out of closed session. This is item number four for open session. The board heard from the general manager and legal counsel on the three items. Direction was given to staff. No decisions were made in closed session. Item five, consent calendar. If I'm not seeing or hearing anything from a board member, I'm going to make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
No.
Do you have a question?
I have questions.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Are they on the minutes of the committee meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me find it. I'm sorry.
We speak into the mic. We put it up to your. Thank you.
It's the Improvements Committee meeting, and I know I have any special notes here. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
No. Take your time.
Oh, here we go. Sorry. Having to do with on the monthly update of the Improvements Committee, number two, proposal for Clementia Water Supply Source Feasibility Assessment from, I guess, Catherine Geese, who is West Yost, joined via teleconference discussing the district's water rights as they related to Clementia. The committee concurred that a study should be conducted and that it was going to cost us $15,400. My take on that is that two things. Why are we doing this? This is something that should be done by Mattis, Madow, and Atkins. That should be a part of what they contracted for, and they should be
right. To that point, I have something from another board member, the same issue. So, point of order, Mr. Ramos, should we, because the minutes are correct, board members want to comment on it, would at the GM or in the utilities report be the time to bring up these issues specifically? I was thinking in the GM report to coordinate, and this director who's absent is bringing up the same items. My thought was to bring it up the GM report to make sure it's coordinated, and then just have conversation with Michael in the process from that standpoint, because they're correct.
Right.
But to discuss it. I got to get it out of this arena, if that makes sense.
That's absolutely.
I think that's an appropriate.
My question.
Okay. Go ahead.
My original question.
Okay.
Okay. So that was that. The only thing I have.
Okay. So
we're going to put that off to another discussion, correct?
Yeah, we're going to bring it up under the GM report and then under the utilities report.
Okay.
With that being said, I make a motion for the consent calendar to be accepted. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Janko. Roll call, Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Staff reports. We'll start with the GM report, item six.
Thank you. All right. I've got a general update on administration. Staff are hosting 9 training sessions on September 26th to the 28th. That's next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to demonstrate the new billing website and to assist customers with the transition to automated bank draft bill payment. The new website allows customers to see bill history, track payments, and see water usage. The new website also includes a new credit card payment approach that is $4 per transaction regardless of the bill amount. This is a savings for customers with bills over $300 because the prior system resulted in credit card fees of $4.95 per $300 in utility costs. Despite this savings, the district encourages customers to utilize the bank draft approach rather than credit card because it saves customers almost $50 per year. Staff has had to devote considerable time. That's the end of that topic. So everyone is invited. We encourage you to call to make a reservation, and the email is on the pipeline and on our website about how to sign up for those. I believe there's 9 sessions next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Additionally, staff has had to devote considerable time over the last month to gather financial information related to government compensation to finalize a report that was not prepared by the April 2023 deadline. The report was finished on September 18th. We've actually got a couple of late corrections that we have to make still, so we're still working on that, hoping to finish that by Friday.
Is this the controller's office report?
There's 2 controller's reports that are due every year, and the first one was due in January.
Right.
And then we worked on that one in June, I believe, and got that in. This one is a different one that's specifically related to government compensation, and that was due, April, like April 1st.
Okay.
And it involves showing a variety of different aspects of compensation, including health care and retirement contributions,
right.
All that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The district is still working on filling the position of finance and admin director. And then we have not yet fully reconciled all sick leave credits due to other obligations, but that's still a priority. Regarding the broader financial situation at the district, the 2021 CSD audit has a few outstanding items that are taking longer than expected to finalize, and staff is working with the auditors to address these issues in the next few weeks. And I don't know if people want examples of that there, but I can give some. It's like donated or contributed infrastructure, the value of that in 2021, any audit adjustments or prior period entries, and a variety of other different aspects of general accounting that they're trying to figure out what our treatment was. There's nothing too dramatic. It's all just sort of pro forma audit information that's being requested that requires a little bit of effort given the sort of lack of a functioning accounting system during that time frame.
Understand.
Okay.
Mimi?
Mm-hmm.
I just have off the charts question. It doesn't relate to anything in particular, except that I'm just curious, have we received our property tax refund for this half of the year, or when does that come?
Do you mean refund, or do you mean revenues?
I don't know what you want to call it.
Payments
the
are...
Payments.
Yeah.
Yes.
From them. Not paid out, but paid to us.
From the county.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, and so what are we doing with that until we decide what to do with that or where that's going, how that's broken down?
Those proceeds are always deposited into our accounts.
Okay.
I'm not sure, maybe I'm not understanding.
Well, over the past year, we determined that we were not going to be using those property tax monies for supporting security. And so that money was now going to be put into reserves for the most part.
Oh, I see.
So my question is, did we get this half a year, and where are we putting it until we decide how we're going to distribute it?
So those property tax proceeds are being put into the general fund and into the administrative fund and then being utilized as part of the 23-24 budget. I think our 23-24 budget is, you know, it was built on assumptions because of the lack of finished audits, but the budget itself is reliant on that revenue stream along with all the others in order to get it to where it is. So we don't yet have the ability to direct those property taxes directly to reserves.
To reserves, okay.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
It's being put to use, yes. Okay, I'll pick up again. So we just have news that one of our operators, Robert Miller, passed his water treatment one exam. So congratulations to Robert Miller. We're very happy for him and grateful for his support. Operations staff have reserved the Murrieta room at the Country Club for a town hall meeting to discuss the integrated water management plan on November 2nd at 6 p.m. Okay. And development and security will be addressed by Michael and Kelly, respectively, a little bit later. And then regarding outreach and regional communication, the Kiwanis Club of Rancho Murrieta held the Kids Open House Fair Expo on Sunday, September 10th at Stonehouse Park, along with many other community groups, including RMA. District staff Kelly Benitez, Travis Bohannon, and Michael Fritchie represented the district and shared many water meters and water saving and safety tips with fair attendees. And seemed to have a very good time, all in all, everybody. I think they also brought four or five different bottles of water showing the various stages of treatment, just to demonstrate how well they're doing and clarifying that water. The camera subcontractor OHO Technologies visited the Murrieta Gardens with their drone to scope out a suitable location for a receiver for the two community cameras in that neighborhood. And we are awaiting a proposal from them for that activity. And the communications committee was postponed until early October, so staff will meet with the committee members next week to establish the October agenda. Yes, Linda.
I'm in surgery on the 4th, so I probably won't even be able to come to the meeting on the 5th.
Would you like us to move it to the following week or to November? What's your pleasure?
Following
week
would be great.
Following week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bless you.
All right.
Do you want us?
It's too cold in here. Huh?
Yeah. Do you want us to turn the heater on like we're doing in the summer?
And then I had an emergency that took me out of the office a couple days earlier this week, so I forgot to add to this general manager's report sort of an update on our PRAs. But from one requester in particular, with 76 PRAs, we've completed 57 of those. 15 were determined to that we have no responsive records, and 4 are still in process. And I'll get the rest of the PRA information at the next meeting. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mimi. Any questions from board?
Okay. Dr. Mabee, I do have a public comment. Would you like to take that now or wait until the end of the staff reports?
No, I'll take it now.
Thank you, sir. Number 42.
Actually, you answered my question. I was going to ask about the public record requests. So, but actually my question is, at this point, if I submit a public record request, will it be processed promptly?
Yes.
Okay. And the other question was about the audits. Do you have any kind of guess or estimate of when the audit itself will be complete and available?
Well, I'm hoping by mid to late October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Kelly.
Thank you. This is for the month of August. We'll start with the operational updates. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 3 part-time gate officers. We have 3 full-time patrol position or officers and 3 vacancies. We had 90 patrol shifts in the month, and 35 were not covered. In regards to our equipment, we have 2 Toyota trucks and a small Ford pickup. Our newest Toyota truck is not in service. They are waiting on parts to come in. We expect to have that up and running on the 24th of this month, actually next month. The dash camera for the truck, again, there's a part issue with that. We're waiting until January now of next year before we can get that camera installed in our one of our vehicles for traffic enforcement. Regarding the security camera system, I am working with the RMA. They're going to give us a power supply so we can put that camera next to in the wash itself. So hopefully we'll have that underway by the end of this month.
Okay.
Southgate repairs. Our Southgate was in an accident, if you will. And
did the gate go out and attack somebody?
It's a trailer that attacked the gate.
Okay.
Didn't fit. So it's about $10,000. $12,000 worth of damage it caused. We are working with the insurance company, and they are, as soon as they can get their contract completed, it will be sent to the GM for approval. But again, they are waiting on parts so they can start doing the repairs. And then maybe next month they can start work on that. So we are working on hopefully having that starting next month. Moving on to RMA, I've been in contact with the compliance officers as well as the GM. I had several meetings with them over the last month. Some of the issues that we discussed, I was able to attend their ad hoc committee on security. I was given 15 minutes and took an hour. So I was able to give them as much information as possible. And the general manager has made herself available for next meeting or the meeting in December if they request it. And they said they may. They'd be in touch. Some of the issues that we experienced with RMA was at the gates. We had issues with estate sales and concerts. And there was a lot of denials for the estate sales, and the rules weren't really clear on that. So we were able to clarify with RMA, if there's an estate sale and a citizen knows the exact address and the name of that person, they could be let in for that estate sale. But there was a lot of confusions when an estate sale happens. It's just not open to the public. You just can't come in. And a lot of times these estate sales, they advertise public nationwide. And people want to come in. It was the same issue with the concerts. They had several concerts. I call it the Hollywood Bowl, but it has no official name. It's just where they have concerts, like Comanche right now. And the latest concert, they were telling our gate officers that it was open to the public. Why are we preventing people from coming in? And we had to explain that you have to be a guest or have a ticket to get into those concerts. So we reserved both of those. Work through both of those issues with the RMA, and going forward, hopefully those won't be an issue. We provided extra patrol with the limited security we have for their new LIDAR security cameras that have went in the south and the north, and we're giving them extra patrol while they're being installed so they're not vandalized. But I know they may already be completed. I don't know.
They were last week.
Okay.
And I'm not sure.
Yeah. So we're giving extra patrol to that so no one messes with those cameras. As far as other Army associations, I'm still in contact with the Metro Fire Arson Unit. He's still requesting some information in regards to the July 4th incident, so they are working on it with their caseload. The other issue that came up is that in the village, their post office mailboxes, their community, they're right outside their main office, was broken into. A female entered the complex. At night, I took a screwdriver, popped open their mailboxes, and stole various packages and letters and fled the location. However, our camera on the outside of Marietta was able to get a plate number. We ran that plate number in our system. It came back to an Amazon driver came to the community about 3 or 4 months ago. We were able to give that information to the Sheriff's Department. Of course, we don't have DMV, and hopefully they'll be able to tie that into the burglar that broke into those post office. But we do have a good picture. It's clear. And hopefully they'll be able to make an arrest soon with that. And that happened at the village. And I've been in contact with their new manager over that incident.
What was the date of that, Kelly?
Oh, well.
And that's fine if you don't have it.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
I want to say that was, well, don't have it with me.
That's but,
yeah,
fine.
It was last week. Maybe a week and a half ago.
It was on the 14th.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
It was the 14th. And moving on to our next slide, we have nothing really of difference with this one. As we continue, gate entries, again, I want to highlight, there was 15,000 guests that came in between both gates, and I didn't have any complaints last month, so our gate officers are doing a good job. Denials are about the same as the previous month. And as we get to the two notes, on Friday, August 4th, 2023, at 1721 hours, CSD security was dispatched to a female who was heard screaming for help in their area surrounding Lake Clementia. The reporting party walked back to Lake Jean and contacted an unknown female and formed the opinion she was possibly under the influence of unknown substance or in need of mental help. The female was partially clothed and full of mud and screaming. The female then fled from the RP deeper into the back area behind Lake Jean. The RP returned to Lake Clementia and met with CSD security, who contacted the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department and Metro 59. Metro Firefighter 59 was unable to respond due to the terrain, and without knowing the specific location of the female, they weren't able to respond. The sheriff responded approximately 3 hours after the incident and could not locate the female. This female was eventually discovered and reported to the Sheriff's Department the next morning off-site from RMA property. On Saturday, August 26, 2023, at approximately 21:15 hours, CSD was dispatched to a burglary in progress at a residence in the south. Upon the arrival of CSD security, the officer contacted both victims, who were husband and wife. The victim stated that an unknown male wearing only shorts or underwear had physically broken down their front door and started yelling and screaming various statements and was still inside their house as our security forces arrived. The security officer observed and heard the suspect banging on the garage. The officer advised the suspect that the sheriff's department was responding and attempted to calm down the suspect. The officer stayed with the victims until the sheriff's department arrived. The sheriff's department took approximately 15 minutes to arrive on the scene. The deputies entered the residence and utilized non-lethal force to take the suspect in custody, and the force used non-lethal force was a beanbag. And I wanted the officer, he's on a day off today, but in my opinion, this is why you have security. Not only were we there in a couple minutes and we were able to take the both victims aside and protect them until the sheriff's department get here, and without engaging the suspect, this is why we have security. This is the best win that we can get for having security. So very happy with the way our dispatch responded, how we got the sheriff's department there, and we're able to keep that the victim safe until the sheriff's got there. And I talked about this case quite a bit, a lot of community interest. You know, had this suspect got a hammer, had a weapon, it could have been a whole different scene. So I can't highlight enough, this is why you have security. This is why there should have been more. I understand, I looked at the body-worn camera of the officer's response, and you can hear neighbors, you know, upset at the officer. Why isn't there more security? What took you so long? Why aren't you doing anything? And my response to that, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And this can't be any best scenario. This is the best scenario for what we have. And I wanted to highlight that. But the officer's not here, but I let him know that he did an absolutely good job for that event. And with that, there's no questions. That's all I have.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll open it up. Board, any questions?
No.
Kelly, a couple of things. I haven't been able to meet with the GM. This is specific to the customer complaint that you and I spoke about. I had a great conversation with her. This was a brandishing weapon or something.
Yes.
So Great conversation. I just have to meet up with the GM, brief her, and then I have a couple of maybe some areas of improvement we can do. So once I meet with the GM, I'll reach out to you probably beginning of next week and just debrief you on their thoughts and comments. And all in all, it was pretty positive.
I do have another public comment.
Please.
Number 42.
For quite a while, there's long delays in getting the security log posted on the website. It kind of looks like, Gail can correct me wrong, it looks like the River Valley Times isn't going to be printing the security log anymore.
Is
that correct?
It depends. I'll find out tomorrow.
Okay. But is it possible to get those updated more frequently? Like right now, the last one out there is July 31st.
Kelly, do you want to address that? I mean, I think there was a little bit of a delay last month when you were sick, but I'll let you.
As far as delay, as far as when they go in the River Valley Times, or where?
No, when they get published to our website.
On the website. Once you send me the whole month's redacted.
Right. Okay.
So if you send it up for August, I'll send it.
We can do that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
So
okay.
To your point, it's really a personnel staffing issue on how quickly we can get anything done in the organization. So I understand that. My question to you, Director Butler, this is with the RMA Committee for Security. I don't really know the avenue because this hit me last week. My concern that I have, and I don't know if it's been brought up or even flushed out, is if RMA goes to a private vendor, their access to resident information and access to district data files. So I have a high degree of concern with that. We've had issues with full-time employees that we vetted, let alone a low-bid contractor. So I'm not saying it's a non-starter for me, but as RMA is working through their process, they just have to know some of the limitations because it wouldn't be the full access that they would have of the complete database that CSD operates. So I don't know the avenue. So I'm kind of throwing it out either to Kelly or to you. I haven't even spoken to Director Booth on it.
I can just make a couple of comments. But I wasn't at the meeting at, where Kelly did his presentation, but it sounded like it went really well, and it sounded like it was a little eye-opening for the people on that ad hoc committee.
She was there.
Can you hear me? I got the feeling from that meeting that people started thinking about things that they hadn't been thinking about, and the realization that we only had one patrol officer on that night. People asked me, what was that about? I said, did you vote for Measure R? You know, because that's why we have one officer on at night. And so to be able to bring those things to the ad hoc committee's attention, I think is really important, because then it is going to spread out to the rest of the community.
Okay.
And I think the ad hoc community has a lot of ideas and ways that they want to put this whole thing together. They're working on it, and
okay.
They're very. I got the impression that they were open to hearing from us.
Okay, and so that's where I just don't know Kelly the best. Because I haven't reached out. I think it's Director Childs.
Mm-hmm. Chris Childs.
I haven't spoken to him at all about what I brought up, because it just, like I said, hit me last week that I have some real concern of just rotating security that we haven't vetted, having access into any of our databases. Because, again, we have some pretty personal information that residents don't want out there, and we take great pains at cyber hacks. I don't want to open the door, from that standpoint.
One other thing that Kelly did make a point about was that when we have a patrol officer, we train them. And,
right.
they're much more highly trained than the private security cops or whatever you want to call them. And so,
and Director, I do have a another public comment.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry.
That, I just wanted to bring that up too. That that issue has been presented back and forth, but the actual training and the kind of people that we have hired and are taking on our staff is commendable.
Perfect. Betty, please.
Betty Ferraro, Belize Court. I did attend, and I will continue attending as just an observer, a member of the community, to the security ad hoc committee. So since you were not there, Linda, nor was Steve, I took note on what you were just saying.
Oh, okay.
And what they had to say, and where they are asking for other information that hasn't been discussed outside that meeting. But I am concerned, and I presented my concern as a community member. And do I speak to that issue now, or do I wait until public comment?
If it's under, if it's not related to the current items that Kelly just spoke about, then
that
it would have to be under
public. I just wanted, wanted you to know that I will have something more. And I want to commend Kelly for his presentation, because I was sitting there watching, and it was realistic for them because of the fact that they were unaware of a lot of things that patrol officers do. Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful to them. The outcome of that part of the meeting was that it should be publicized what our officers do, the patrol officers. And I think that that's a good idea when you get, Linda, when you get to your committee area to try to beef that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'll talk about the other later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then I guess the only downside, Kelly, is your time on task is a little off if they gave you 15 minutes and you took an hour. Yeah. But again, we're...
I talk fast, though, so that
right,
was really...
Right, right. And
so
use
we really
your hands.
Got a lot in.
Right.
Got
a lot in.
Item number C, which will be utility reports, and then, Michael, as we discussed earlier, there'll probably be a little bit of conversation on the Clementia and potentially another study, et cetera, at the end of it. So
or
go
maybe,
ahead.
Maybe we can just go right into that.
No, give you a report, like... go through the process, okay. And then we'll just bring it up.
All right, the water treatment facility, Plant 1 and Plant 2 are both in operation and currently producing potable water at a rate of 2.45 million gallons per day. As of August 31st, our cumulative potable water production at the plants is 341 million gallons, with 69.9 million gallons of those used in the month of August. As of September 6th, and actually still currently, Clementia Reservoir is still within the stop log zone. For those of you that don't know what the stop logs are, those are what we put in to add a couple of feet to the reservoir, and we do that every year, God willing. The total water currently stored between Clementia, Chesbro, and Calero at that time totaled 3,471.9 acre feet. We did find, and this was called in by a resident, someone found some mats of cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, in the areas north of the lake. This is potentially could cause some drinking water complications and is toxic when bodily contact is made. We have contracted with Solitude Lake Management. They're going to be out tomorrow to apply the Sea Clear algicide, which is basically a low dose of copper sulfate.
Is this a common issue or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually when you get warm weather. And, you know, natural nutrients, you grow algae.
Okay, go ahead.
Define common, because for us, as I know it, we have not had this happen in the past.
When I first got here, we had starting a little bit, and we're like, well, let's wait it out and see. But I think this has progressed to the point where I'd like to take some action instead of just waiting.
I think also that... When you're talking about this or when we're addressing this, we have to look at what causes this situation and why is it happening now, and it happened in Chesbro. I think there's also been some questions about Clementia, and that this is part of the problem of climate change. It's part of the temperatures rising and water evaporating and, you know, the whole cycle of things that go on. And so we can expect to have more situations like this. I mean, from my observation anyways.
Were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that I'm not a water expert, of course. I'm a financial person, but I do have some exposure to similar situation up in Tahoe, and particularly the Keys. The Keys have a very serious cyanobacteria situation, and then there are a couple of other lakes, Alpine Lakes, and other parts of Tahoe that have had this. And with the Keys in particular, I think the common belief is that use of fertilizers in that area, stagnancy of the water, the elimination of the meadows that were there before in order to construct it. So there are factors that hail back to like the 1960s that have been, you know, blamed in part for the proliferation of the cyanobacteria. So, but yeah, it's, I think it's something that is exacerbated with additional heat, but it's there are theories that it is a contributor to like ALS and other neurodegenerative diseases. So it's
my point. Thank you. I appreciate that, because my point is, we can't just say, well, clean it up, and you know, it's something that you have to keep thinking about. You have to keep in your present tense, in the present tense, and that we are very fortunate to, at this point at least, have a water supply. But this is scary stuff. A lot of it is scary stuff. And I don't mean to be an alarmist or anything like that, but this water situation, we don't exist if we don't have water. All the rest of this can just, you know, go
away. I agree with that statement.
So I looked at this, I read this, I looked it up, and it is serious and it's important to be dealt with.
You know, I think it also boils down, not just heat, but also just to kind of add to what Mimi was saying, you know, fertilizers have phosphorus and nitrogen, and plants love those things, and so does algae. So if people overuse fertilizers and it drains into the lake, well, that will just feed the, and I'm not saying that's why, but I'm saying that's a potential
cause.
Well,
it's not happening now.
Yeah.
Michael, I've lived on that lake for over 20 years, and this happens yearly.
Yeah.
This time of year, it's warmer. It's some years it's worse, some years not so much.
Right.
This has been happening for as long as I've lived on the lake.
I'm not really worried about it. I mean, like I said, the first year I was here, we waited it out and it was okay. But this concentration is to the point where we need to take some action. You know, and maybe this is, you know, a potential job for the communications committee, getting the word out, like, hey, don't overuse fertilizers, because, you know, if things drain off, they get into the lake.
But those lakes, with the exception of the houses that are around Chesbro, and that's not a huge amount, and not theoretically draining into the reservoirs, those are not lakes that we have planted, you know, soy fields around or any of those kinds of things.
Oh, I agree. But people use fertilizers in their home, and water does find its way in there. I mean, it's not all one big scary thing. It's a bunch of little things sometimes. And, you know, if we can do our best to try to get people to use less fertilizers and then do what we can to stave off global warming, those are the things that we have control over. So we'll do our best to keep those lakes in good condition. That's the goal.
It's our job.
All right. Let's see. Moving on. Wastewater facility. tertiary process of the wastewater facility is currently online, producing about 1 MGD of recycled water. Their current average dry weather influent flow to the wastewater facility in August was 0.38 MGD. As of September 6th, the facility had 118 acre-feet of treated wastewater available for recycled water production. And I added this table below showing the recycled water delivery from May through July 31st. I believe Director Mabee had asked that question at the last meeting. So I just provided that to show since 2019 what have been the uses. Keep going, Amelia.
Keep going.
What have been the uses of recycled water? Keep going. Keep going faster.
Keep more? No.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. Thank you.
And basically, yeah, to answer your question, Director, maybe the Country Club did use about 10 to 15 million gallons more in that time frame than previous.
Okay. And again, we're able, because of the rainfall cycle, et cetera, to meet that demand.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
They're also utilizing, you know, the river pump as well.
Right, okay.
Utility crew.
And quite honestly, it shows on the course.
Yeah, you said it was a little more green.
Oh, it's. I've never seen it this green.
At some point in time, when we add recycled water users, we're going to need to be very careful about what the country club uses. So we're going to have to determine.
I think we'll be into the new water agreement contract by then. Quite honestly, because I think it's up in
27, I think.
27.
Okay. I could be wrong.
So between 26 and 28.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe that agreement's an automatic 40-year extension, and terms don't change unless both parties agree, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to be having some discussion.
Something to talk about. Okay, so utility crew highlights. Staff had one water leak in the month of August. Utility staff installed an end-of-line blow-off on Colina, where there should have been one originally. That valve was exercised there, and then we flushed 800 gallons of water through it. A total of 24 water meters were replaced, and 4 new water meters added to the system in the month of August. A total of 13-meter sending units, MXUs, were replaced with SmartPoint MXUs, along with the 4 SmartPoint MXUs added to the system. We are contracted with the California Conservation Corp, and they're going to be starting weed abatement on September 25th.
Who is that?
The CCC.
Yeah, I mean, I know who it is, but they provide a group of people that...
Yes, yes. Okay. It's a lot of times it's younger people just getting a start.
Yeah, because maximum age, I think, is 23 that you can work there.
Really? Okay, so definitely younger people.
What happened to the service that we were going to hire?
Well, I got a phone call, and his father's very sick, and he had to move up to Oregon to go deal with him. So that's what happens sometimes. So luckily, we were able to get a contract with CCC. I don't know what the contract's going to look like for next year, but if they do a good job this year, I'm hoping that we can lock them in. Mm-hmm. Work plan for September, electrical work on Lost Lake. Let's see, finish up restoration work at the Granley's Forebay from the flood.
Could you expand on Lost Lake?
So we're going to be installing a whole new electrical service along with a new breaker panel. You know, a lot of the failures that we've been having out there with the fountain and the aerators is due to a improper was meant to be temporary electrical service, and so this will also alleviate some fire hazard and some potential shock hazard, and keep everything running.
Have we kept those residents up to date?
Yes.
Thank you.
Everybody that's been in touch with me, I have let them know.
And to that point. I have follow-up meeting with the GMs and presidents. The three agencies are looking at that process. So
okay.
I'll update, because I have some questions of RMA. They were supposed to get back to us with some numbers. So thank you.
Let's see. And then we plan on installing the new water meter for the airport, October 3rd and 4th. And so then we'll have, they'll have their loop back and everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. Then we're also going to excavate and seal up a concrete storm drain, I think it's a 15-inch, at the end of Cantova that was originally installed without, it's kind of a dead end for a storm drain, but it just had an open pipe, and they just buried it that way. So we're going to excavate it and put a plug in.
Okay.
Because it eventually you'll lose the road.
Right. You know. Right.
So that should be interesting. Capital improvement and rate study. Staff met with Lumos and Associates team for a project site visit on August 17th and 18th, where the existing district infrastructure was inspected and data collected for the capital infrastructure evaluation as part of the capital improvement plan effort. We're still in the process of getting them the data. We're working all hours to get the shape files for all the water lines so they can account for all the water lines. Okay. So that'll hopefully be wrapped up by in the next week. And then I'm going to set up a data gap meeting with them to ensure that they're getting all the information that they need and just kind of find out when we might see the first draft of the capital improvement program. Grand Lee Safety Project, the project has been reviewed at the 75% level and comments have been provided to the engineer. Marty, thank you for your comments as well. The water treatment facility, the same, no change. The project is 100% design. The Integrated Water Master Plan, the consultant team is currently working on the water demand portion of the project. We have selected Thursday, the 2nd of November at 6 p.m. for the Water Demand Town Hall presentation. We have the hall rented out, and the Country Club gave us a $300 discount on the room, which was really nice. We're very grateful for that. We have the room from 5 to 10. We'll do setup from 5 to 6, start at 6, and we'll should be done by 10.
Perfect.
For the wastewater facility chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite and contact tank project, we met with Dewberry and Associates to review their chlorine tank requirements as provided in the preliminary design technical memorandum. The engineer is supposed to be providing us with additional investigations and providing us with an update on cost prior to commencing design of the contact tank. Lift stations. Lift station 3B, the project is underway. We had a kickoff meeting on the 10th of August. Electrical construction and mechanical construction has started. The project is likely to continue through the end of September with no expected sewer disruptions. The valves and check valves, as approved by the engineer, do not fit in the existing box. The contractor submitted a change order for $30,000. The district decided to install the larger box ourselves.
Okay.
To save the money. Alameda and Starter Shack, this project is currently in design phase. Cantova and FAA still in the design phase. I think they're going to be working on that last. Lift Station 6B, we just had some updated plans from comments from our electrical person, and they should be getting started with that fairly soon. And I'm hoping for the end of December for completion by KHOG.
And this will take care of all of the retreats and then the village?
Unit 6, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For development, Retreats North District is in the process of investigating storm drain related issues relayed by the Country Club. We've told KHOB they need to pull the SWIPs where they're no longer needed, as requested by the Country Club. Made sense. It made sense to our district engineer. And then we have requested at the last meeting, we've had two meetings now with the developer and the Country Club, and so now it's in the Country Club's court to quantify the extent of any sediment in the hole two water trap. So we've requested that they, Art wasn't able to make either of those meetings, so I imagine if anybody has the information regarding that specifically, it would be Art. Right now it's at the qualification, like, yeah, there's some brown water that went in there, but there's no quantification of, like, how much sediment is in there.
I'll follow up with my meeting next week on that.
And I'm hoping he has something. Residents of Murrieta Hills East and West, we have reviewed the drainage study and the rough grading plans for Unit 1 of Residence East, and which consists of 61 out of 99 planned lots. We have required that some of the deficiencies in the grading plan as it relates to having successful SWIPs is in the process of being addressed by their engineer. So our district engineer had pointed out some issues with their grading plan and the drainage and how they're connected, and how that's going to affect these SWIPs. So what we don't want is, you know, a bunch of sediment going into Laguna Joaquin. And so we had a meeting with them, a couple meetings, and made it very clear what some of the issues were, and we have yet to hear back from the developers.
I always get confused between Residences East and Residences West. Now, they were both mapped for 99 units.
Yes.
At one point in time. I think one of them is still mapped for 99 units. Is that correct?
They're both mapped for 99, okay. but they're phasing. So basically, I think it's going to be four phases.
But they are planning in those four phases, two and two, I guess.
Yes.
That the ultimate build out in those two areas would be 99 and 190.
I believe that's still the case.
Uh-huh. Interesting. They've been. I don't know if it's Mr. Kyle, Bob Kyle, who is still doing Residences East, right?
Yeah, he's part of the group.
Okay, and so there was, I guess there's some lots that are currently for sale up there, and I was just curious about what we know about that. And
yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's for sale signs
at this point. I think I've heard that, and you know, I'm not a big development expert, but I'm assuming that they might sell, if they sell enough lots, then they move forward with the development. I don't know if you can pre-sell a lot or not. I don't know that.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. No update on Riverview Phase 2 or any new items from the Murrieta Gardens commercial. So that concludes my report. If we wanted to discuss the improvements committee.
Question on the report before we
start. Yes. Go ahead.
The weed abatement started yesterday.
No. The weed abatement's going to be starting the 25th. We were trying to get it get contracted in time.
So, all right.
Yep.
That's all you have?
Yep.
Anything from you, Martin, on the report? Okay. Go ahead, Director Butler.
Okay,
or unless you want me to go first, but go ahead.
No, I can go. I always try to read or listen to the committee meetings, and especially improvements, because there's always more stuff that seems to go on there. And I have to say, I was pretty, I believe the word was appalled, when I saw that suggestion that we engage in a feasibility and water rights discussion at Lake Clementia. And my thought process went to, number one, Lake Clementia, if it's being considered for anything other than what it's being used for now, that should be done by Madow and Atkinson. That should be a part of their responsibility, because it will ultimately be a part of their, what do they call that word? It's the A word, assumptions. And I I frankly don't understand why we would be considering another company and another expense. Where is the money coming from? And I find it to be just a the thought that we are doing this for the whole community, not just for a developer or a landowner or whatever.
Are you thinking of doing this for a developer?
I'm just saying that just this process has got to be for the whole community, and that in thinking about that, I just don't understand why we are not doing this with, or why we wouldn't be doing this with Madow and Atkinson. They're the people that we hired to do this, and I'm just sort of shocked. And
Director, maybe? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm not familiar with this study, and maybe it'd be helpful to have some background on what the proposal was and what the purpose of the study was.
The integrated water.
The study that we're talking about, the West Coast study.
Provide that background.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a very relevant and necessary investigation. Currently, the district has the legal water right to utilize water that we pump into Clementia for drinking water. Mm-hmm. We currently have that water right. So, and we have pumped well over 1,000 acre feet in the last 7 or 8 years. So I asked my water rights person, like, so do we have access to that water that we've pumped in from the river? And he said, yes, that's water that the district could have for the drinking water. So I think it's important to make the distinction between the two water rights that's involved with Clementia. There's one water right that covers all the water that drains into Clementia. Now, that can only be used for recreation, and that's the designated right for that. But the water that we pump into Clementia currently with our permit, we can utilize that for potable water. We have the right to do that. And, you know, in a drought scenario, we may need to use that someday. There's a possibility that we may need to use that. Now, in the past, we've looked at making Calero bigger, excavating Calero. And we were looking at $10 to $15 million just to get 300 or 400 acre feet.
Right.
We have the potential to have that available to us with practically $0 if we can get the permission from the Department of Health Services to utilize that water. So we're looking at this as a very relevant and necessary exercise. We've got two state agencies, probably down the hall. Water rights say, yes, you can use anything that you pump from the river into Clementia for potable use. And Department of Health Services on the other side says, well, currently you can't, but if you do X and X and X, you may be able to. And so we're investigating that because we're in the middle of performing a study with our Integrated Water Master Plan. This could potentially be one of the assumptions that's made in the study. And what I'm looking for from West Yost, because they do have that level of expertise and they do have relationships with Department of Health Services, I'm looking for some kind of a probability that we can utilize to make our study better. Because we're going to be looking at a lot of different things to make sure that this community has a stable source of potable water, and this is just one of many things that we're looking at. And this is not in the scope of the Integrated Water Master Plan. So this investigation is above and beyond the scope as currently contracted. So that's why I would like to use West Yost and Associates. And I've had this discussion with the GM, we've had the discussion with the Improvements Committee, and that's kind of where we're at. That's kind of the basis and impetus for this study. Whether there's never one more house developed. This is still something we got to look at to protect the community.
Okay. Do you have more?
I guess I don't know how to say it any more clearly, but I do think this is something that, if you take the whole thing apart, it should be a part of the Integrated Water Master Plan, and it should be done. That's why we have Atkins and Madow, because one can do what the other can't do, et cetera, et cetera. I know who Yost, West Yost is. They used to work for us. And I don't disagree with the fact that we need to do this, but I'm wondering why we're doing this way now instead of having it be a part of the Integrated Water Master Plan.
Well, it wasn't part of the scope of services. Like if you agreed to mow someone's lawn for $5 and then the neighbor wants you to mow part of their lawn, I mean, I'd probably do it, but, you know, bad example.
Where is the money coming from?
It's coming from our reserves. Mimi, did you have something? You were going to say something?
Before the GM, this was sent to me, and I spoke to Director Booth. He has some concerns as well, thinking that part of this should have been in the feasibility part of the water source in the Integrated Water Master Plan. And also that if there's discussions about insufficient supply or relying on it, again, that should be identified in the Integrated Water Master Plan. What I'm hearing now is this is a water rights issue, and so my comment to the GM is, I think we're going to have a handful of items come out of this study or identified that aren't in the scope of work, and that before we do a contract like this, I think it's needed, especially the water rights portion, because I don't want a may, I want a shall, quite honestly, right?
Well, so, let me interrupt you just a second, Tim. This isn't necessarily, I see where you're going with this, it's not technically a water rights issue. We have the water right. It's, will Department of Health Services
right.
allow
we
us
have,
to use...
Right. We have to work through that.
Will they let us use our water right?
Right, right. And that's where I need the shall, not a may.
Right.
And so I guess where I'm going to you, Mimi, is as the GM, I think we're going to have a handful of questions come up that truly didn't fall under the scope of work. It just, that's how contracts work, right? So instead of doing...
Could I clarify just that you mean the scope of work of the Atkins contract?
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. So my preference would be to, unless it's time critical, to start categorizing these like this, because I have a sinking feeling that we're just going to have other items come up that are going to have to be looked at. And I would rather we do it all at one shot or as many as we can under another scope of work or scope of works and control it as opposed to as questions come up, we just start dealing with it and we haven't gotten draft information back. That would be the coordinated effort. But Director Booth is pretty adamant that he thought this should have been covered under the current study. I'm not here to agree or disagree. I'm just looking a way for us to coordinate before we have to do this study. And if something comes out when you get draft information before the November meeting, okay, gosh, we got to get that question answered. Well, what's that process, right? I'd rather us get many questions at once and then start sending them out. That's my preference.
I haven't, and I don't foresee really any, you know, more like questions like that. And there are a few, and we are working with the water rights expert to answer most of those. This is with answering the question, you know, and the question is going to be, it's not going to be yes or no. This is going to be, we feel that if you do X and X and X, you would be able to do this. Like, we're not going to know this until we go down the road of applying it. So this is what this gives us is the template. So if we do want to go down that road, these are the things we need to start doing now to prove to the state that it's okay. So that's kind of where we're...
And that definitely is not in the scope of work for the integrated water master.
Right. And I do have West Yost under a master services agreement. So if we need to add another task, you know, we would bring that to the improvements committee and move forward as needed.
Okay.
And if I could just jump in on... Oh, sorry, Martin, I didn't see.
I was going to weigh in on this. I think it's appropriate for us to develop future water sources. And if it means utilizing that water right, that's great. But I think this more has to do with schedule. I think we have to give Atkins some direction on whether or not we want to pursue the use of that right. And the direction will be from this study as to whether or not it's going to be feasible. And so I don't think it's a good idea to delay it. I think it's good to do it now so we can give direction to Atkins so they can either incorporate it or not incorporate it in their study. Because if that's not a feasible, if it's not feasible to use that water right, then we're going to discount it.
Right.
So I think it has more to do with schedule than anything. So that's why I wasn't at the meeting, but I was in favor of it before I was, when I read what your report was. So
I look at it as my duty to look under all the nooks and crannies and find as much water for the community as possible.
So if I understand it correctly from what you said, Martin, the Integrated Water Master Plan really can't make an assumption unless they know it's a realistic assumption. So we're trying to find out if we have access to it. Is it practical?
Is it going to be feasible?
Right.
And if it's feasible, then we'll probably say, well, incorporate it in your report as a source of water.
As a possibility.
But if these guys come back and say, you're never going to get to do this, then we would tell them, well, don't try to develop that water right.
Right. So, but we have to try.
It's better to know it now than 4 months from now.
And, you know, and I don't believe the goal is just to drain Clementia so it can't be used, just so we can support development. That's not where we're going with this. Where we're going with this is, you know, if we can get 300 or 400 acre feet during a drought year, that could be a win for the community. And my other goal would also be to make sure that, you know, we need to weigh out, you know, we want to keep recreational activities there as much as possible in the process.
Okay. Director Janko.
Sidebar question. Right now Clementia is 104% full. How does that happen this time of the year? Are we pumping in? Where's the water coming from?
It's been pretty crazy. We just have not had as much. We were full right away, and then we kept it full.
Did we pump?
I'll have to check on that, but I thought we have pumped a little bit. The other piece of information that's became apparent with my discussions with our water rights expert is that because we're in the application period, there was another community that just got, I think they got a 25-year extension. We've asked for a 40-year extension.
So 4 year? 40.
40. Okay. So we're hoping, because we don't know what our needs are yet.
A 40-year extension on what?
On our water rights.
Okay.
So we're currently in the application phase. It's very important in this phase to demonstrate use for all of our water rights. And so that's the other piece of this puzzle. If they do say, yes, you can use Clementia for potable water, and if you do X and XX, we have to weigh out whatever the costs are getting there. We will want to start using it because you want to demonstrate some use during the application period. We have used Clementia, I believe, for I think we supplemented the country club a couple mm-hmm. times. So that's demonstrated some use. So that's good. So those are the types of things that we want to make sure that we do. So when the applications become finalized, we've demonstrated the use and we've maximized the district's water right possibilities.
If we have one.
Okay. Mimi.
Yeah, thank you. So I wasn't involved in the beginning, and so I don't know the timing of the contract with the water rights of person. I'm more familiar with the Adkins, but I think that there are about a dozen water rights and permits, and so it's complicated, all these different rights, and they have different sources and uses, and so I think Adkins Madaus was, you know, hired to do sort of an assessment of the sources, but as the work started to get deeper into the details, I think this issue came up about whether it was allowable as drinking water. And so it was definitely never part of the original scope, because that, I think, is a newer idea. And so it's going deeper into that. But I completely agree that it's obligatory that we maximize and optimize all potential sources of water, because not all years are going to be like 22, 23. And so we have to manage the inflows and the outflows. And then if it's going to be part of the municipal water supply as potable water, then we have to get the authority for that. So that's all of my thinking behind why it's an essential next step before the IWMP gets too much further down the road.
President, maybe I do want to remind the board, this item is on for the utility update, and I think we're probably a little bit far from it at this point.
Thank you, you're right. Thank you. Okay. It's clearer to me. I'm still, in my mind, saying it's water rights as opposed to source of feasibility, but so be it. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. We had questions, answers. Okay. Item 7, review district meetings. They're all posted here. Mimi, my question to you, I thought we were going to have a special board meeting on GM evaluation in October.
15th. Oh, right. Yes, that's true, on the 18th.
Okay.
18th of October.
So it'll be before the board meeting. I'd probably say it's got to be.
I have it scheduled at 3 if that works for everybody.
That works.
I'm
okay.
Sorry, that was an oversight
nope,
on my
nope.
part.
Nope, I thought we talked about it. Perfect. Item 8 is correspondence.
I'm going to be gone the first week in October. Marty, are you going to be available?
I will, unless you want to. If you want to move it a week, I don't care.
Move it to the following week. Michael, yeah. Are you?
Are you guys talking about a golf trip, or I mean, we're
right.
In a board meeting.
Yeah, that works for me.
Oh, committee stuff. Sorry.
The 10th. Let me get back to you, but
yes,
that's a 90% yes.
And then
still 8 a.m.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
We're going to move communications to the 12th.
And can we move finance to the 10th too, just so that we have improvements and then finance just for ease?
And then everybody be patient with the district, your favorite district secretary on getting those
updated
minutes, the minutes out. It'll probably be, you know, the first part of the week of the board meeting, but I'll do it.
Okay. So,
and Mimi,
let me be
did
clear.
You want to chat about
are we
what
setting
we were
that
going to
date,
put
or?
On the communications?
Next week?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have Amelia schedule some time for us.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Go ahead, Martin.
Are we setting that a new date for the improvements committee, or are we just going to wait till Randy checks the schedule?
I can't. I'm coming back on the 10th. That's my travel day. So
I don't care if it's the 11th.
So let's say the 11th. Mimi? Is it 11th? Okay.
Okay, so the 11th for finance and for improvements both then? Mm-hmm. And then the 12th for communications, and schedule a meeting with Linda, Mimi, and Stephen to talk about the communications study.
Perfect.
Kelly, we'll meet as needed. I just wanted to be part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Item 8, correspondence. Item 9, it's an action item. Consider an act on government claims by C. McCormick. Mm. And just as a point of reference, we are public agency 1,540 defendants. So, Mr. Ramos, your recommendation on this?
Yes. How much do you want to talk about this one, Director, maybe?
Not at all, sir.
I appreciate that. I will say Ms. McCormick never worked for Rancho Murrieta CSD or the other 12 clients I've helped with this issue. A claim was filed with you. I recommend that you ratify the general manager's prior action to send her a notice saying it was insufficient. It didn't meet the requirements of law because it didn't tell us who we owe money to. And also deny the claim. That's my recommendation.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Let's see. I don't think I have. No. No. I'll make a motion that we uphold the GM's decision on denying the claim, and that the district officially denies his claim. We'll have it written as such. By legal counsel to move forward. If I could have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Director Paul. Are we ready for a roll call vote, sir?
Please.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 10, it's an action item. Consider approval resolution R-2023-16, changing authorized user titles to local area investment fund. Mimi, please.
Oh, do you want me to talk about it? Yes. LAIF is one of the investment funds that we use, and when we changed the title of the Director of Administration to Director of Finance and Administration, LAIF has us had it down from, 2006, I think, as a director of administration. So we have to have a resolution to change the title of the position, which I currently have vacant. So I may well, once I fill the position, need to have another resolution adding the name, but I think it'll be okay to just have it as vacant and leave the resolution like this. It's just housekeeping, tidy work, paper is.
I understand. So I will kick this to the GM, considering everything with our search to find an individual. Would it be appropriate to wait another month or two? I don't see any timing issues that are so critical.
Sure.
And if we can fill the position, we have a name?
That's correct. And I think we were doing this because there was a need for some information from LAIF for the audit, but they were subsequently able to get it without our involvement. So I think holding off until we fill that position is probably fine.
Okay.
And this, when this was originally done in 2006, it was obviously a different general manager and a different director of administration. So it was okay with them that I... there's a form I fill out to change the name of the general manager, change the name of the director of administration, and at that point it was accounting supervisor too, so I've removed accounting supervisor from this.
Well, so if I don't hear any opposition from the board, we'll pull it, move it to potentially a November, December board meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Item 11, consider voting for special district representative for LAFCO, regular seat number 7. I don't know who wants, does this fall to you, Mimi, or I'll open it up to the board?
There's a special election.
I think it's pretty straightforward. Just these candidates are out there, and the board has the opportunity to vote for them.
Right. The one that jumped out to me was the one on the Water Board, Sacramento Area Water Agency, I think. That I don't know the others, to be honest with you. So unless somebody has something, that's would be my recommendation. Unless anything jumps out at you, Mr. Ramos, on them.
I am counsel to 4 out of 7 of these agencies, so I have this one out. Sacramento Suburban Water District, President Mabee is the one that you're thinking of. Bob Wickard is a longtime director. Sacramento Suburban Water District is one of the largest urban water suppliers in the American River region.
Is he an engineer?
Maybe. Maybe I'll vote for him.
I don't know.
Well, then we know the people skills and any humor that'll be running there.
Yeah, but they'll have it right.
Okay, I'm not looking for right. Okay,
they're vetoing any fire. So,
thank you. So, what's that?
Robert. Wow. If we're going to vote.
So, unless you guys want to throw a name out, like I said, I went with the Water District guy.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. I think it's a roll call vote. You have Amelia?
It is. Okay, so then I have Director Mabee nominating
Bob. I call him Robert. Yeah.
Okay. And then do I have a second for the.
A second.
Thank you, Director Butler. Roll call, Director Butler. To vote
yes.
For Bob.
Yes.
Okay. And Director Jaco.
Aye.
Thank you very much. President Mabee.
Aye.
And Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 12, public comment. I know Betty was going to come up and speak, I think, on security, so we're at that point.
Yes, I do have Betty Ferraro to talk about 6B, and then I have a few more. Thank you. Welcome.
I got short. Yes, thank you for hearing my request. And this is a request due to the fact, as I had said, I was attending the security ad hoc committee. And so my concern is this. They are looking into what we use as Measure J. And, of course, if they're looking at a Measure J, and I'm going to suggest that the board, with the approval of our general manager, ask Mr. Ramos to research Measure J to see if, in fact, it can be, I don't know which is the correct word, LAFCO will take it, let us take it back, not use it.
Take it apart.
Cancel it. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking that is if any of these other agencies decide that they do not want to pay into Measure J, which they have to under our agreement, under the law, then that leaves the other ones wondering, do I still have to pay? Do I still have to belong to it? And this can create quite a disturbance because Mr. Mabee went over, and I don't know if the board president over there understood exactly what was being asked for, but since an ad hoc committee was started by the RMA, that did not leave the one avenue that CSD has in order to gain information and help, and that is called the Joint Security Committee, which is in the books for CSD. We have a folder or a book, I guess it is, in the office. We have used it before. It takes into consideration all of the entities within the district, CSD district. And if you use that, the manager with the board's approval can call for that committee to be formed again, reunited with all of these entities. Bring the issue before them that you have with financing, which is, I understand, patrol. Kelly, if it's not just the patrol, let me know. Or is it for gates as well as patrol?
What the Measure J funds go to, is that the question?
Okay, yes.
Everything.
In other words, if what was asked was the funding for the patrol. Am I correct, Mr. Mabee?
Well, Measure J...
No, I'm saying that when you went before the RMA board, were you looking just for funding? Because they understood it was going further than that.
Yes. What I asked of RMA was, due to the fact that Measure R didn't pass, our costs don't match up with Measure J, meaning we're inverted. And like Director Butler brought up, our property tax revenues go to subsidize Measure J. With that being said, I informed RMA of that fact. They're our largest customer at this point in time. That's when they establish an ad hoc committee. They're going to find out how that process, even what do they want in security, even if they want security.
Okay. That's so, where I'm stepping in, because that was their understanding and they're researching everything. However, they're researching Measure J. And if they find that, again, this is a year's process they're going through, and if they decide that they are going to their board with the suggestion that they take over security, then the concern is, what about Measure J? So I am asking this board to give our general manager the right, as well as Mr. Ramos, to research it in case the worst case scenario they want to take our security totally, gates as well as patrol, just to RMA. If that is the case, that means all of the entities outside of the gates would be left out, because they will be doing it only for RMA inside the gates. One of the people on the board has stated that she is very concerned with the fact that no entity outside the gates, basically on the side of the 16, would have security unless Measure J was taken away, and then they would have to find their own measure. Their idea is, it doesn't affect us, they have to do what they have to do.
So I understand what you're saying, Betty, and I'll let the board members weigh in. I would tell you I would not give any recommendation to the GM to spend any dollar amount with legal counsel at this point in time on Measure J. We've been through Measure J. We know where we stand on it. We have to quantify some of our administrative costs. The GM and I are meeting on that. RMA is still light years away from coming up with anything. Before they got to a decision point, I'm sure their board would reach out to this board. At that time, I would probably take the recommendation that you're bringing forward, because there's some revenues to be shared on the attorney's costs. So my humble recommendation is I wouldn't move right now to look at how you remove entities, individuals from the Measure J tax process or doing anything with Measure J.
Okay.
My
concern is that you're on the 11th hour and you're going to try to regroup. You didn't go to the joint security that CSD has the right to do, mm-hmm. to get all entity to buy in, which means that they could formulate some way that the finances could be worked out, I'm sure, because it has been in the past. So that was an avenue to go. But you chose not to do that. You chose to go to the board of RMA. So my concern is, will LAFCO, and I believe it's under LAFCO, that we would have to go to as a community service district if we had to withdraw? Would that not be the agency to go to in order to do that? That was my question.
That I have no idea.
No, that's why I was directing it to the manager as well as Mr. Ramos. I don't want to be blindsided to try to communicate with the neighborhood when they're going to be all up in arms.
Thank you, Amelia. It's fine.
Kelly is going to be right in the middle of it, and I don't want him to have to be in the middle of it. Well, it sounds like I'm protecting you, but I am.
Betty, at the end of the day, it's unfortunately not clear to the community the dire straits that prior boards didn't address Measure J with. So this board is addressing it. We're starting
excuse
with
me,
our...
I don't understand where you're saying prior boards did not address it. Would you explain that, please?
Yeah, we've been inverted, meaning revenues from Measure J have not covered the cost of security for quite a long time, probably almost 12 years. So we're just now trying to get a handle on it. So the thought process was to go to the largest customer, find out what the largest customer wants. The community spoke to us pretty clear that they didn't want to raise any taxes with Measure R. So once we get some indication from our largest customer, then we start working with all our other customers. That's kind of the course we're taking.
I hope you can sell that to the rest of the customers.
Well, at the end of the day...
And I also want to state that your statement is false. When I was on the board, we did look into the finances, and we did have enough finances to purchase vehicles. We had finances to support two officers on patrol in the morning hours, two patrol officers in the afternoon hours, and one patrol officer in the evening for 7 days a week.
Right. So I won't get into details. When I came on this board and you were going off the board, we in fact had a security supervisor working Monday through Friday. We had a sergeant working Monday through Friday.
Yes.
We had a security officer working Monday through Friday, and then we had two on the swing shift. We were inverted at that point in time by hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, and it was subsidized by our tax revenue. So to that point, I'm not going to rehash history. To your question, my humble opinion, the rest of the board, and they can take action on it, I would not move to ask Mr. Ramos to spend any effort on anything doing with Measure J until we get something concrete from RMA and what their process is. But I'll open it up to the board.
I think it's premature to research anything until we have a proposal from RMA. And I don't know that it's a given that you would give up Measure J. There might be other avenues.
I know they're researching it. I know they're researching
it. Well, and they can. Please understand.
I'm just saying. I was trying to answer Martin's question. Yes, they are researching it. That's all I can tell you.
Can I just make a comment? Mm-hmm. Maybe, Andrew, you can respond to this. But we had a small, like maybe two-page explanation of what Measure J was, and that's what people have been operating off of. But it's very limited compared to the actual measure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody actually has ever looked at the actual measure besides you, Andrew. And so when you're addressing not just Measure J, but anything in that category, you have to look at the whole thing. You can't just look at one little part of it that says you can only raise the rates by 2%. That's just one little part of it,
right,
from what I understand anyway. So I think the idea that it could be separated, you could give money here, you could give
money.
I don't know that, but I know that it's somewhere. The information is available.
I do have a copy of Measure J, and you're correct, Director Butler. A lot of times when people talk about what's in Measure J, they're talking about the ballot language, the guide language, rather than the actual text of the measure. You're right about that.
But we've got two no's. Did you want to say anything, Mr. Jenkins?
Andrew.
Yes, sir.
She's asking Jenkins. Yeah. Just off the top of my head, I don't know that I agree with Director Mabee that it's premature or Marty. I think maybe another avenue to look at that I think is consistent with the language, verbiage of Proposition J is to continue to use those funds for security for all of the people that are taxed. I think that's pretty clear that that can be done. And now that leaves you with the gates. And I don't know, maybe I'm simplifying it too much, but it's pretty clear to me that they can do whatever they want with the gates if we take all the money and provide patrols. But I'm afraid I'm a little bit out in front because we're talking about having them come bring a proposal to us.
Well, it may not even be a proposal. They're going to come up with their findings, and it is what it is. It might be they don't do anything for the next 2 years.
And it might have to go to the community for a vote.
Right.
It?
Yeah. And so it's a pretty lengthy process. We know from the GM, we're tailoring down our property tax infusion into Measure J. So again, it's going to be a lengthy process. But like I said, I whether it's a proposal or they just say we don't care because their community doesn't care to raise rates, there it is. I truly have no idea.
Okay, I was just doing a heads up.
Oh no, that's more
Thank
than
you,
fine.
Man.
That's all. I didn't expect an answer. I was just doing a heads up to let you know that there was another option out there before you did that, which was the joint security.
No, I knew that was an option because I called that meeting before. But again, we have to go to our largest customer, and that's RMA right now.
That's your decision. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you, Betty. Amelia, anybody else?
Yes, sir. I do have Miss Marilyn. Hey, you know, Haugen. Marilyn's here.
Please.
With a comment for us. Actually, Marilyn has two. She's a double hitter tonight.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And what was it? I was mentioning the one thing on my mind. Well, the one important thing for me and everybody that lives on Dela Cruz, Dela Cruz, where I live.
There you go.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Oh, don't you ever. That's not a good picture.
I have a lot of photos of you.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Anyway, as we all know, the retreats are on the corner of Marietta and De La Cruz. There had been problems with the post, the light posts there, where the models are, on and off for a long time, and no one seemed to address it until the builder needed that source of energy to go into his subdivisions for the houses. And as I remember, I just kind of looked at it. They were digging holes around that light post. So I don't know what they were doing except trying to get connection to it to service their houses and building and try to sell. In any event, the light post is out for a long time now. And that is a dangerous corner at night. And I don't know why. For some reason, that light post isn't given special attention because it's part of the retreats as well. And now we're going to get more traffic once the retreats are ever lived in. You're going to use that interest rate off of developers. So I want you to be aware of it. I don't know if anybody has ever sent you the light is out, because I did ask one of the workers recently to tell somebody the light is out.
Right. I don't think that falls in our purview.
Does it?
No, it would be RMA.
It's RMA, and then the county.
The county and
the
SMUD.
Responsible,
right.
For overseeing the light
right.
fixtures on the retreat
know.
Set, but definitely yeah. that's either a SMUD
yeah.
or
okay.
RMA issue.
Well,
it's an RMA light.
I tell you what, I have a meeting with RMA. Well, we have a meeting, Mimi, with the RMA. I will put the De La Cruz post light on that agenda for President Adams.
If we only knew somebody on the maintenance committee over there, we could probably get that taken care of quickly.
What?
Well, he'll delegate it to the maintenance committee. And,
okay.
But
we'll get it taken care
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I'll address that with RMA for you and your next issue.
The next one is,
I'm a senior citizen, and I was just thinking while I was sitting here, I look at my bill, my CSD bill, and I'm paying as much as a four-person household is paying in sewer and water. I live by myself, and my bill was $200, and I live in a 4,200-square-foot house. I'm not using very much in the utilities, and therefore, I'm wondering, is there any way to give a break to seniors over a certain age on the sewer and, the things that CSD charges us?
So I understand your question. I'll defer to legal counsel.
Unfortunately, the answer is no. Under Proposition 218, right, there's no option for lifeline rates or things like that, and it's unfortunately, in my opinion, a huge flaw in that whole scheme. There has been some talk in the past about creating a statewide fund to help to lower rates for senior citizens, but it would have to come from the state. Unfortunately, it can't be initiated by the CSD under law. It's really unfortunate situation.
It really is, because I know I'm very conservative, and I see these bills, especially the water bill, when my usage was $1.25, and so I'm paying $40+, now $57, whatever it is, and I'm not using the water.
No, understand, ma'am.
So that's basically what I wanted to say. I know I need a lot of things and questions and answers would come. There is a really a break in communication that I see, and RMA is involved in part of it too. Because I don't think the residents realize that inflation, you have to pay more for the services you get, you have right now because of inflation. Mm-hmm. I have no problem paying more in dues because I know it's inflation is causing it. And I don't know how we can avoid a protest like they did last time, but they don't seem to be educated on the fact that their gas and everything's gone up. Why would the services of CSD and RMA go up?
I
don't. It's just been shoved under the carpet, and I just think that it shouldn't be, because I think everybody knows that who's here, that everything's gone up, and there should be some kind of a cohesiveness. Between RMA and CSD to inform the public, the residents of Rancheria, hey, you have no choice.
Well, you have choices to live here or not, but I think it's well said what you said. There are costs that as consumers we have to pay, whether it's CSD or RMA or if you live in the village or MPI.
Or families in the South area. I put the South
area. No, understand.
Because they have more people in their houses, so they use their
facility. I think one of the things that our community loses sight of is that if they didn't live here, they would still be paying for water, sewer, drainage, police, whatever setup you have, whether you're a city or an incorporated area or whatever. And I've been here a long time, and when I came here, I looked at my husband and said, this place is so cheap.
It was.
And it was, but but the reality is,
we have more people, more houses.
There's 5,900 people here, soon to be 69. And cost of security, I it's one of those things that I don't think a lot of people take in consideration, but the more people we have here, the more security is going to cost us. So, anyway.
Something has to be said, because that's why we moved here, was the security in the gate, and then the golf course, which I don't play, and my husband passed away. So we're not really using the golf facilities, but maybe the social membership.
No, understand. I understand, ma'am.
So I'm sure there's other people that feel the same way. I just wish we could get it out to the public.
Your point is well taken. Thanks. Your point is well taken. Amelia, do you have another?
I do. Number 42.
I think this question came up before, and you got to charge everybody the same rate. But I think, the way I think, there is a way to provide a subsidy that, charge everybody the same rate, but it's just like on the phone service. Some people get a discount. They don't actually get a discount, they get a subsidy. Now, you've got property tax money. You can use that at your discretion if you choose to subsidize poor people, seniors, or whatever. I think you have that option. Maybe Mr. Ramos can correct me on that, but I don't think you should just, you know, say you can't do it, because I think there's a possibility they can do it if you want to do it. I mean, if you don't want to do it, say so, but I think the option is there. I mean, maybe Mr. Marengos can correct me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's typically not done. There are some agencies that have lifeline-type rates, like Sacramento County uses non-rate revenue like you're proposing to have a lifeline rate program. That option, I don't think it's really available to the district given its other competing priorities for this type of thing. So I don't have other clients that have initiated that sort of thing, unfortunately, so I'm not sure it's feasible.
What I'm hearing from you is it can be done, but not feasible.
I haven't seen anybody do it.
Because the money's needed someplace else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, make that clear. The board has the option. They probably make the decision not to do it, but it is an option.
No, no, they didn't say that at all.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, then...
What?
Jeez. Try it again, Mr. Ramos. I'll give you one more try, and then his time is up.
Yeah, I don't think that the district has that option. I haven't looked into it, whether it could use non-rate revenue as a substitute for the water rates for a lifeline program. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it done for a special district.
Okay. But the property tax money, the district can use it at its discretion.
Yeah, we have a list.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a list to use.
Item 13, director comments. Director Butler.
I'm good.
Director Janko.
I'm good.
Director Pohl.
I'm good.
I have a couple. Gail, I heard you say a couple times to other folks, you'll know more about your operation, I guess. When you find that out, would you send that to the district, please, because then there are probably some things we've got to internally look at, et cetera, because quite honestly, you've been our biggest community educator that this community has. Mm-hmm. I may not always agree with you, but you get the facts out and you get them to the community. So that's going to be a loss to us, and we're probably going to have to think internally some new thoughts on how we get information out, because good, bad, or indifferent, the articles in the River Valley Times start discussions mm-hmm. or continue discussions, or more importantly, have people ask questions. So to that, and I speak for the board, thank you. Okay. And if you would just either touch bases, I mean, you can send it to me, but Amelia or Mimi, because I'm sure RMA's in the same situation as well, but it's very important to us. So thank you for that. Moving on to item 14, adjournment. Can I have a motion for adjournment?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Director Butler. Thank you, Director Pohl. Roll call vote, Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.